This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Monday. We have another week of great shows ready for you. I'm thrilled to be here kicking off the week with you. Jared is on the board. And Jared, thanks so much for joining us today.
I am legally obligated by paycheck to be here.
Well,
no, I'm very happy to be back.
Taylor really liked that one. Wow, you don't get a laugh like that out of Taylor every day. See, guys, we're starting off strong.
It's worth it.
I'm very happy
to be here. Had a great weekend with my new son, so this is all good times. All good times for me right now.
Yes, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day, and we've got tons of news to get to, and I want to start, there's a lot of things I want to hit, and I don't usually start the show with something that happened last week, like a sound cut from last week, but I didn't get to talk about this on Friday. I didn't get to talk about Biden's semi-fascist remark, and I think it's important that we discuss this because I have a few problems with it. I know words are meaningless now. We just, you know, the Democrats, they can say whatever they want. Language is whatever they want it to be. They control the language. They control the narrative. They can say whatever they want, and it becomes truth. And so I understand that Joe Biden can say these things. Mr. Unity can throw out whatever he wants about Republicans, and it's no big deal. Like, it doesn't cause an outrage. In fact, I was actually surprised at the fact that him calling half the country semi-fascist, I was surprised that even caused any sort of reaction from, let's say, Peter Alexander from NBC. That surprised me because to me, this is just, you know, it's par for the course now. We get this like every day from Joe Biden. He doesn't come out a lot, but if he's coming out of the ice cream palace, he's going to talk about MAGA Republicans. That's the only time we get Corn Pop Joe. Like, we get the kind of Joe that could face off with Corn Pop. Take you behind the gym, Joe.
The great magazine.
Ambrose Finnegan's grandson, Joe. You know, that kind of Joe rolls up his sleeves and looks you dead in the eye and says, I don't think you have a soul, kid. Do you want to go toe-to-toe with me? That kind of Joe. The angry yelling.
Good for you, Jack.
Only focused on the vowels in a sentence. Joe. We only get him when he's talking about Trump. You're not going to get him that confident when he's talking about, I don't know, anything else.
Defending America from a Chinese communist takeover.
No. Then he gets a little timid, like, I'm not supposed to take control of this. I apologize. This is not, who am I? Well, what am I doing here? He actually said that on Friday. He didn't say, who am I? We haven't gotten to that. We haven't asked that question yet. That Socratic question, but he does oftentimes apologize.
You know who I am?
For taking control of a meeting. Like, if he decides,
are there any nurses in the room?
He apologized at a roundtable for taking control. He wasn't supposed to do that. But the only time they'll send him out to talk to reporters, and I do notice this, Jared, the only time they'll send him out rogue to talk to reporters when he has his aviators on and he's just kind of wandering around the White House. He's off somewhere and he doesn't have a mask on. He'll have a mask on when he's walking to the helicopter by himself. Not even a dog in sight for him to pass this on to. And if he ever did pass it on to a dog, you know where we'd send them, LA County. They could get tested. But there's not even a dog in sight. He's totally by himself. And he's got the mask on. But when he goes out to reporters and, you know, they know what he's there to do. Oh, this must be another bash Trump moment. Then he doesn't have a mask on. So he goes out on Friday. He's got his aggressive tone, which is coming out more and more now because as so many brilliant minds in the mainstream media have told us. In case you haven't heard, he's on a legislative roll. Okay.
He's feeling himself, as he used to say back in the day.
It's just win after win after win. Inflation Reduction Act, the infrastructure bill, the American Rescue Plan, canceling student loan debt, ka-ching, 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 winning, winning, winning. What can't this guy do? You could not show him a dollar that he wouldn't want to spend, as long as it's yours, not his. So what? Now that he's on this roll, he's getting more aggressive. So he goes out on Friday, and he decides to call. Do we have this cut, Jared?
This actually was not available audio. It was in a closed-door Democratic fundraiser.
Oh.
The transcript came out, which is very funny. I think it was NBC was reading the transcript, and there was and they actually read that on the air.
And I, quote. And then he goes on to call half the country semi-fascist.
Semi-fascist.
Do I have that right?
Donald Trump and the MAGA philosophy, it's semi-fascism.
Okay, well, the reason, I keep seeing this more and more now. Like, I saw it with Kathy Hochul. Remember when, let's take a, you know what, Jared? For Monday's sake, as you pointed out, it's going to be a great day. Let's take a trip right from the get-go down memory lane.
I thought I had forgot the past. Now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
I'm going to take you back a few years. And if you don't remember this, you're younger than me. Hillary Clinton was running for president. And it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And it looked like she was going to win it. Most people, including myself, I thought she was going to bring it home. And she was at, I think this was another, was this a closed door? I do think we have audio of this. When Hillary Clinton decided, you know, she wasn't going to campaign in Wisconsin. She wasn't going to spend time, you know, trying to win over the other side of the aisle. Instead, she was talking to beautiful people like herself. And she decided to call half the country deplorables. Let's hear it.
Be grossly generalistic. You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. But that other basket of people are people who feel the government.
Okay, so I guess technically she wasn't calling half the country deplorables. She was calling a fourth of the country deplorables.
Basket of deplorables.
Now, the reason I bring this up, I know what you're probably saying. Come on, Grace. Monday afternoon, you're starting us off with some Hillary Clinton. Well, the reason I bring this up is because at the time it was a major gaffe. You know, it was really, it was like her Mitt Romney moment when Mitt Romney was talking about people paying taxes and stuff. And he kind of disparaged half the country. It was her moment like that. You weren't supposed to say that stuff out loud. You weren't supposed to openly express your disdain for a major chunk of the country. But now Democrats are doing that proudly. And one of our favorite quotes, Jason Bateman and, Dodgeball. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it plays off for them. Because they are openly expressing how much they dislike half the country. So you have Joe Biden saying semi-fascist. You have Kathy Hochul saying, if you don't like New York, move to Florida. To which everyone in New York is like, dude, we are trying. We are trying our best.
Challenge accepted.
Can you help us secure a U-Haul? We've run out of U-Hauls, but if you can help us with the U-Hauls, we'll be out of your hair pronto. And then you've got Charlie Crist, who I hadn't even heard of till a couple months ago. And he's out there saying, if people like Ron DeSantis's policies, vote for Ron DeSantis. I don't want your votes. It's like a reverse psychology type of thing.
If you like Ron DeSantis, you can keep your Ron DeSantis.
Exactly. Again, to which people are probably saying in Florida, yeah, we know. We got that. We understand. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. But my point is that this theme of telling people, get out of here, telling people, you know, you're a semi-fascist, it's insulting to a lot of people, and it could backfire. It could cause backlash, as they like to say. Now, the left strategy is getting really nasty, and they hope that they can I guess what they're hoping is they can shame people by openly showing their contempt for people. They can shame them into feeling bad enough morally to vote for them. They're hoping that if they tell these people, you're a bad person, you're semi-fascist, you're xenophobic, Islamophobic, racist, homophobic, all the phobics. If they can say that, then people will pay attention to that rather than pay attention to inflation, gas prices, the botched Afghanistan exit, skyrocketing crime, the effects of school shutdowns, the corrupt mainstream media's hiding of the Hunter Biden laptop, the partisan FBI witch hunts into Donald Trump. It's like reading off the effects of a medicine, you know, a medication. And death. That's always the last one. And death. But yeah, they're hoping if we can get them to focus on how bad they are morally, how they've lost their way, then maybe they'll forget about all these other things and they'll vote Democrat. Now, they've been doing this for a long time, but I want to specifically focus on the fascist part of this. He says that Republicans, that the MAGA party is semi-fascist, right? That's his claim. Now, I looked up the definition of fascism. I'm hoping to have Andy Ngo on later because he's a real expert in fascism. And this is what I got. This is just the first one. A way of organizing a society in which a government ruled by a dictator controls the lives of the people in which people are not allowed to disagree with the government. Okay, now, I'm going to say that one more time. We're going to go through this together. Because I'm just a credulous boomer rube trying to find, you know, trying to find certain countries on a map. It takes me a little bit longer than the average Joe. A way of organizing a society in which a government ruled by a dictator controls the lives of the people in which people are not allowed to disagree with the government. Now, the constant argument from the left,
the government,
when Trump was president, was that he was a dictator. He was dictator Trump. He was an authoritarian. He was a tin pot dictator. How many times did you hear that? So I guess in their minds, we're fascist because we had a dictator as a president who controlled the lives of the people, and the people were not allowed to disagree with the government. Again, we're doing a little flashback here. But do you remember, can you go into that old memory, go into the Rolodex, and try to remember when Trump was president, can you think of any time anyone disagreed openly with Donald Trump? I can remember just a few articles, think pieces, shouting matches between reporters and Trump, documentaries about how evil Trump was, magazine shoots with bloodied fake Trump heads, celebrities saying bleep Trump on stage of award shows, singers talking about blowing up the White House. Did any of those reporters or big time loser celebrities ever get arrested because of how much they disagreed and hated and threatened Donald Trump? No. Did they get punished for voicing their opposition to the government? No. They got Pulitzer Prizes. They got awards. They got magazine shoots. Now, fast forward to the current most transparent administration in the world, the Biden White House. What happens when people disagree with Joe Biden or Biden Incorporated? The New York Post was censored. Anyone with ties to Trump has been investigated. Navarro was thrown in Hinckley's jail cell. Trump's home was raided. Alex Berenson was suspended off of the platform of Twitter because the White House was urging Twitter to do something about it, about his COVID misinformation. The list goes on and on. So you tell me who's the fascist out of these two. Because if Trump was a fascist, he was the worst fascist of all time. He had no control over what people were saying about him.
Hamburger eating, monkey fight, watching dumb. Couldn't even be a fascist, right?
Couldn't go down the ramp right. Couldn't swallow water right. 2 scoops of ice cream. Had to lose weight because he ate so many french fries. Were all these people thrown in a jail cell and I missed it? Was Jim Acosta ever in prison and I missed it? Because I feel like if Jim Acosta was ever thrown in a jail cell, I would have heard about it. I think Howie Carr might have done a couple hours on it on his show. I think there might be a few books about it. So I want to talk about this. Do you think Donald Trump or MAGA Republicans are fascists or even semi-fascist, diet fascist, fascist light? Let's talk about it. We're also going to talk about Omicron. We're going to talk about the FDA. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. He was on with Joe Rogan. Very insightful interview, and I want to get into that. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton in 2024, the FBI, Bill Maher. You name it, we got it. It's Monday. We're ready to go. 844-500-4242. I want to take your calls this hour. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
It is a fundamental difference between Trump and Biden, and I cannot take credit for this. I remember Greg Gutfeld said it. Gutfeld said it a while ago on Fox, and it always stuck with me. He said, you know, Trump went after political figures. He went after people he didn't like. He went after Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Hillary Clinton. You know, he had a lot of enemies, but he never went after Americans in general. You know, he didn't go after Americans who didn't vote for him. He didn't have that kind of vindictiveness towards like a major group of people, whereas Biden seems to just be angry at anyone who voted for Trump. All those people who hold up signs saying bleep Joe Biden, those are the people he's mad at. And calling them semi-fascist might make him feel better, but it doesn't change the fact that people are not convinced that he's the best man for the job and people are disappointed in him. And so he can call people racist. He can call people whatever he wants that helps him sleep at night with his, you know, spoonful of ice cream in his pillow. He can put his head down. And if he thinks that calling people semi-fascist is going to help him get through, fine. But no one believes that. I mean, if Trump was a fascist, if Republicans were fascist, then all of these reporters that were hating on Trump for 4+ years, all of these politicians who initiated these investigations into Donald Trump that ended up being hoaxes, don't you think they would be imprisoned if he was this major dictator? I've never understood this argument. And also, I would love to know, because this also plays with the Democrats want to have everything both ways. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. On one hand, evil, criminal mastermind, fascist dictator. On the other hand, moron who has no idea what's going on. Can't tie his own shoes. But he is the most evil, powerful fascist of all time. And we have to make sure he doesn't run again. So let's raid Mar-a-Lago and find some top secret documents so we can ban him from running for president again. It's just all so ridiculous. And another thing I want to get into here, and we'll play this coming up, is the mainstream media's reaction to this. Because on one hand, you have some people like Charlie Crist who are saying, yeah, this is Joe Biden speaking plainly. This is what he does. He's telling the truth. And then you have Peter Alexander and other people saying, let's not forget, this was the unity dude. This guy ran on unifying the country. And just in case people are forgetting, he talked a lot about unifying people after January 6th. So don't tell me, well, he was going to unify until the insurrection, because that doesn't really make sense either. His whole shtick was bringing people together, and he couldn't have done more of the opposite if he tried. 844-500-4242. I have to give you a little tease here. I have a cut of Rob Reiner, aka Meathead, right? That's what he used to be, on with Bill Maher in what is one of the most embarrassing clips I have ever seen. If that's not a tease, I give up. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this. We got a lot more coming up next.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
It's pretty amazing that the man whose administration or whose DOJ, and I know what people will say, well, it's not his DOJ. It's not his. He has no say in what they're doing. You know, Attorney General Merrick Garland isn't Joe Biden's wingman. Please, he's not Eric Holder. But it's pretty amazing that after the raid we saw at Mar-a-Lago, and I have updates on that, by the way, Biden's DNI is now making a announcement about documents seized during the Trump raid. If you miss this, the director of the National Intelligence is preparing to review the items recovered during the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. That's according to CBS News, so take it with a grain of salt, am I right?
Yes, Melania had a pair of pumps that was two seasons old.
Well,
God forbid.
Hey, Jared, the DNI will get to the bottom of that. Don't you worry. And I'm sure Joe Biden's DNI is going to be extremely, extremely apolitical. Biden's appointee, by the way, the head of the DNI is a protege of former CIA head John Brennan. So don't lose faith.
Down the middle, Brennan, we used to call him.
But yeah, Trump's the fascist. Right, right. Sure, Jan. Paul, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. One of many calls we're going to take today. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, I'd like to discuss Joe Biden and his idea of what truth is. If you could refer back to him having a conversation with the Afghanistan president, as he was trying to shove people out of his helicopter and put $100 bills in it when he was escaping, President Biden, the head of the Biden crime family, mentioned that, what if the American people discover the truth? And he says, the real truth doesn't matter. It's only what the people believe the truth is. Hence the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah, and that phone call with Ghani was interesting because compared to other phone calls, I always say this about phone calls between Joe Biden and other foreign leaders. We don't get the same dire need to get the transcripts as when Trump was having phone calls with people. When Trump was having phone calls, the hashtags were incessant. Hashtag release the transcript. Hashtag tell us now. We need to see everything for the sake of democracy, because it dies in darkness, you know. But when it was Ghani, yeah, that last caller is right. There, we didn't really get too much information on it. And it did seem like what Joe Biden was telling Ghani was different from what his administration was telling the American people, which is, again, something we've all come to expect at this point.
Yeah, Biden picked up the receiver and asked for Kabul 2456. Like there was an operator on the other end.
Yeah, anytime he has a conversation with anyone, like when he has a conversation with Xi Jinping, and we're told it was 2 hours long, and they went back and forth, right there I go, challenge flag. Tossing a challenge flag on this. Haven't seen the guy go longer than 20 minutes in a friendly conversation with his own staff. He can sit on a couch with Nancy Pelosi, and he checks out after 5 minutes. You're telling me he's talking to the head of China, and he's going for 2 hours plus? I don't think so. Jared, you know what we haven't done in a while, and it feels like a good time to do it. As we're discussing Joe Biden's comments on MAGA Republicans, he's obsessed with MAGA. And it really does show a shift. Like, I think I read this in The Hill, that this is a new tactic from Biden. He wants to be more aggressive. He wants to show people he means business. So I think he's going to have like a more Clint Eastwood-type attitude now that he's on the campaign trail. And by the way, last place he went, kind of kicking off the midterm campaigning, I don't know if people knew this. I reported on it, but I don't think there was enough hoopla. It was crowded. There was overflow at the auditorium. And it's only fair we comment on that because the mainstream media always accurately portrayed how many people were going to Trump rallies. So it's only fair that we give credit where credit's due. Biden's the most popular president of all time. He had thousands of people trying to get in.
81 million at every event he goes to. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, it is what it is. So Joe Biden was at this event, and it's amazing that he's trying this out now, where he's going to vilify half the country in hopes that maybe we'll all forget what a terrible job he is doing. And it is terrible. And I think this student loan cancellation, that just adds to the terribleness. Like, you look at inflation, you look at gas prices, you look at crime, everything's skyrocketing. And you add on, oh, and we're about to cancel $10,000 worth of student debt if you make less than $150,000. I don't think that is striking blue-collar workers as a great idea either. In fact, you know what we should play before we get into journalism and the news is this this cut here, Jared. Can you kind of tell people what this is? I know it's a parody ad, but give me a little background on this. This is American Action Network parody ad, and what it says is blue-collar workers love Biden's bailout for rich kids.
Yeah, so this you'll hear it as it goes along, but this parody ad talks to real Americans who are excited that they get to pay off other people's loans.
Yeah, and as they should be. You know why? Because it's the nice thing to do. It's the, actually, it makes sense it's happening under this president because he's the most compassionate president of all time. This is the humane thing to do. This is the, you know what we can learn from when it comes to student loan debt? Because some of you, some of the listeners out there, I've been hearing from you the last couple days, and you're more than welcome to chime in now, 844-500-4242. But I can't help but notice a little bit of anger seething out of you. And you tell me, you know, Grace, it's not my responsibility to take on other people's debts. I didn't get a degree in basket weaving from Dartmouth. Why should I have to pay for it? And I would counter that and say, you might want to read the Statue of Liberty. Because she could teach you a few things about welcoming people and their debts.
Clearly no poetry majors in this crowd.
Right. Because if you read the Statue of Liberty, you would understand that this is our duty, is to take on the huddled masses and take on the huddled masses' debts and pay for the huddled masses' degrees in gender studies. Okay? Now, this is the parody ad of all these people who are thrilled. Now, these are blue-collar workers, so you would think they would be semi-fascist. You think they would be Trump supporters, credulous boomer rubes, but no, they're thrilled about Joe Biden's idea about canceling student loan debt. Cut 9.
I spend more time working on these cars than with my own family.
I spend my days digging holes, cutting grass, and sweating.
This is job number 2 today, so my customers aren't the only ones drinking coffee.
I'm breaking my back out here for one reason.
I want to pay off some other guy's debt.
Biden's plan to pay other people's college loans using my tax dollars is a great idea.
Biden's right. You should take my tax dollars to pay off your debts. My family will figure out how to get by with less. What's most important is we spare college graduates from any extra stress.
Want to be a struggling artist? College is on me.
My kids don't need fancy things like school supplies or new shoes.
I work for you, theater major.
This shift is for you, business major. Go buy yourself that new car.
Enjoy your free ride. College is on me.
Tell Congress, stop Biden's bailout for rich kids.
Why? Why would I tell Congress that? It sounds like an awesome idea. I'm a theater major. I don't appreciate that shot at theater majors. You know how I feel about that. I'm not asking anybody to pay my debts. I'm not. And by the way, they mentioned a struggling artist in there. I'm sure Hunter Biden's paid off all his debts. Where did Hunter Biden go to school? Can we check in on that?
I believe he hit Yale as one of his schools, but I will look at Steer Scholar's record.
Yale. And I wonder what his major was. Do you think he was, maybe he was an arts major like me?
His major is 20th century China.
All right, well, because we kind of veered off there, but whatever.
Hunter Biden went to Yale Law School, Georgetown University, Archmere Academy, and Yale University.
Wow. Wow, and they say that a college education means nothing nowadays. You too could be a uber successful businessman slash train expert slash pipe artist slash writer.
Maybe he was an IT major because he really knows his way around a laptop.
Yeah, he does and he doesn't, you know. In some ways he does. He knows his way around a camera. I'll tell you that much. The guy has never met a camera he doesn't like. You know those people who say, Jared, like you try to get a picture? No. They freak out. I'm going to look horrible. Don't take any photos of me. Please. He's the opposite. And any time that he has underwear on, he's like, "Where? Come on, paparazzi, where are you? Let's take some more photos." So besides that, though.
Get my Sunday scarf.
Yeah, the scarf look. A scarf, a gun, and a pair of underwear. Can you say photo shoot? But besides that, besides the fact that all of those semi-fascists are so thrilled about paying off the student loan debt, we now have the mainstream media commenting on Joe Biden's latest tactic to shame people into joining Democrats. And I would like to do a little bit of journalism in the news, please, Jared, if you don't mind.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
You know you've lost a lot of people when Peter Alexander is criticizing your technique, because Peter is really part of the Biden cheerleading squad. He used to be one of the captains of the squad. And now he is on TV and he was being asked.
This was Meet the Press.
This was Meet the Press. One of my favorite weekend shows. I bet you didn't know that, Jared. I DVR it every weekend.
I was not aware of that.
Well, Peter Alexander had something to say about Joe Biden's semi-fascist remarks. Can I have cut 10, please?
You know, Chuck, what's interesting about this, when he, as you described, used the word semi-fascism to describe the MAGA philosophy this week. Let's go back to March when he was in Poland. He said of Vladimir Putin that he couldn't stay in power. And that became controversial. The White House, you know, backpedaled on that, walked that back. There's no backpedaling on this. It's clear that there's a more aggressive strategy. We talked about the way that they were handling the debate over student loans.
Do you think
the
he actually soft-pedaled it? Do you think someone said you should say fascism? And he said, I'm going to say semi-fascism.
When I spoke to AIDS, this wasn't a teleprompter speech. This is what he's been thinking. They say he said it out loud. This was done not on camera. But it fires up Democrats. It juices up the base because they want to see him be more aggressive on that. But it also does, you know, it does become problematic because, you know, this is a guy who said he wanted to be a unifier.
Here's my,
you know, Chuck, what's interesting about.
Yeah. And another thing I'd add in here is, and I know I keep saying this, but it's worth repeating. If Trump were a fascist, all of those people on that panel would be in jail. Because all of those people spread fake news about Trump for years on years on years, spread lie on lie on lie all over the place. And guess what? Guess what they got? They got promotions. They got book deals. They got magazine covers. They got praise. They got strange new respect. They got invited to cocktail parties. They're living the good life. They're doing just fine. In fact, they're doing so great that I bet you deep down all they want is for that semi-fascist dictator to come back in 2024. That's how terrible he was. And in case you're wondering, well, Grace, you know, Trump really did stifle conversation. He really tried to stop people from, you know, talking bad about him. I would argue, no. If anything, he fueled the fire. If anything, he gave interviews to people who I would have said, are you nuts? Leslie Stahl, maybe we don't do that. But no, he couldn't help it. He couldn't help it. The guy loves giving access to the White House. He loves giving these reporters access and saying, interview me for hours and hours and hours. And they would write terrible things about him and they would write terrible books about him. And he couldn't help himself. There was no shortage of transparency when it came to Donald Trump. Now, on the flip side, when there's negative stories about the Bidens, what happens? Well, let's look at the New York Post. The New York Post was shut down on Twitter because they ran with the Hunter laptop story, which was true. And Mark Zuckerberg says that the FBI, he says they didn't specifically come to him about Hunter Biden, which I don't believe. That's my prerogative. I don't believe that. But he says they gave him warnings about disinformation. You know, be very careful, because that's the number one thing on their priority list. They got nothing else going on they can work on. Larry Nassar, that can wait till tomorrow. We got to worry about the disinformation that your Aunt Kathleen is spreading on Facebook. Okay? So all that's happening. And when we come back, I'm going to save this. When we come back, I got to play you. Bill Maher is interviewing Amy Klobuchar, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Rob Reiner, who's just an anti-Trumper. He's like a D-list actor / anti-Trumper. And this is the best cut you're going to hear all day. And we're going to play it in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about Joe Biden's remarks about Donald Trump and his supporters. I'd love to hear from you. It's 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, Joe Biden was asked, what do you mean about semi-fascist? What did that mean? And he said, you know what I mean. You know the thing.
What do you mean by semi-fascism, sir?
In December, you will...
You know what I mean.
Need I say more? He's a man of few words. The most transparent president in history. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. The real estate market is changing, so you really want an option that is consistent and can help you through any kind of market. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Have you been to the movies since COVID ended?
The reason I bring this up is because, oh, and I already know that I'm going to have to save the clip for the other side, aren't I? I'm running short on time. Don't get mad at me. It's that good of a clip. You can wait for it. But the reason I bring up this story, Jared, I don't know if you know this, because I was just talking to the mail manager the other day and I said, you know, we have too many national days. Every day you could go on Google and type in what is today and it would say National Taco Day, National Donut Day, National Pizza Day, National Hug a Friend Day, National, say hi to your aunt on Facebook who you haven't seen. There's National every day. And coming up next Saturday will be National Cinema Day. And some cinemas... Select U.S. movie theaters are giving away tickets to movies for $3 next Saturday. And they're thanking people for coming back to the movies because this has been a decent summer for movies thanks to, you know, Top Gun and other big hits like that. But they're also trying to bring people back who have never come back after COVID. And my question was just, you know, have you come back? Because I think for a lot of people, it took them out of the routine and they never really got back into it. And you just kind of get comfortable watching it from home. So my answer, this might surprise people, is yes. I have not been back a lot, I should say. I saw the James Bond movie, and I think that might be the only movie I've seen in theaters since COVID. But yeah, I've been back technically.
Just 29% say they have been back. 71% say no, they have not.
Kind of surprises me because Top Gun was so huge, and I do... want to see that. A lot of people told me, like, if you're gonna watch it, go see
it
in theaters.
Yeah,
but it's just hard.
I haven't seen it either, but it looks really good.
It's hard to get yourself to go nowadays. I mean, everything's so easy to get online or, you know, on your TV, I mean, on the apps for a couple more bucks, then you don't have to go to the theater. Plus, they don't have anything now. They don't have soda. They don't have popcorn because of the supply chain. We'll be right back with more. We're going to talk about Sydney Sweeney, Kamala Harris, and I've got that meathead cut, so don't go anywhere.